Hebrews chapter 13, beginning on page 1009. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 25. This is the word of the Lord. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. I urge you the more earnestly to do this in order that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I appeal to you, brothers, bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. You should know that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom I shall see you if he comes soon. Greet all your leaders and all the saints. Those who come from Italy send you greetings. Grace be with all of you. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you. Our God is a consuming fire. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. Our God is a consuming fire. And He has promised to dwell with us. He has promised to dwell in your midst. Is this good news? Psalm 5, verse 4. You are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. Our God is a consuming fire, and He has promised to dwell in your midst. And you are a sinful people. There is evil within you. Is this good news? What do you think will happen to the wicked in the presence of the consuming fire that is our God? Malachi chapter 4, verse 1, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze. Our God is a consuming fire. He has promised to dwell with you. He has promised to dwell in your midst, in the midst of a sinful people. Is this good news? Apart from Christ, it is not. Apart from Jesus, it is not. But you are not without Christ. You are not outside of Christ. By faith, you are united to Christ. By faith, you are in Christ. And in Him, there is no sin. In Christ, you have the forgiveness of your sins. In Christ, you have a righteousness, not your own. In Christ, you have His righteousness. And in Christ, you share His holiness. And thus, in Christ, you are able to dwell with God. In Christ, you are able to stand in the presence of God. In Christ, you are able to enjoy God. Our God is a consuming fire. Christ, your great high priest, is with you in the fire. You shall not be burned. Our God is a consuming fire. He has promised to dwell in your midst. And He has promised that you shall not be burned. This promise was revealed to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. The Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. It was not burned. God was present as a consuming fire in the midst of the bush, yet the bush was not burned. The bush was not consumed. It was a picture of God's promise to His people. A picture of God's promise to you that He will be your God, that you shall be His people, that He will dwell with you, that you will enter into the most holy place of His presence, that you will enter into the place of His rest. That promise depicted at the beginning of the Old Testament, it is proclaimed again at the end of the Old Testament. In Zechariah chapter 2, verse 5, the Lord declares to His people, "I will be to her a wall of fire all around, and I will be the glory in her midst." The Lord promises and proclaims to you that He will be to you a wall of fire all around, that He will be the glory in your midst. For God to dwell in your midst is for a consuming fire to dwell in your midst, is for a consuming fire to dwell upon you. To dwell in you, to dwell around you, for you to enter into the most holy place of God's presence is for you to enter into the presence of a consuming fire. A fire far greater than if all the world was set ablaze. The difference between heaven and hell is not fire. The difference between heaven and hell is not fire. The difference between heaven and hell is what happens to you in that fire. United to Christ, the consuming fire of God's presence does not burn you, it refines you. United to Christ, the consuming fire of God's presence purifies you, that you may share His holiness. To stand in the presence of God, as you do this day, to appear in the presence of God, you may either become like Him, or you may be consumed by Him. There is no other option. In the presence of God, you may either become like Him or be consumed by Him. The promise of the burning bush, the promise of God to be the glory in your midst, this promise has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He has endured the consuming fire of God's wrath for you, that you might enjoy the consuming fire of God's holiness with Him. Christ has gone before you into the presence of God, into the inner place behind the curtain, into the most holy place, into the place of God's rest in heaven. He has gone before you that you might follow Him. And by faith, through His Spirit, you are with Him. You are with Him in that place. the fire before which the people of God worshipped long ago on Mount Sinai. It's a terrifying sight. It does not compare to the consuming fire before which you worship this day on heavenly Mount Zion. It is why we worship with reverence and awe. It is why we are silent before Him. For our God is a consuming fire. But Christ is there. Christ is there with you that you may offer to God acceptable worship, that you may stand in His presence, that you may be sanctified by His presence, that you may share His holiness, the holiness of that consuming fire above. So that on the last day, you shall not be consumed by that fire. So that on the last day, you reflect that fire, shining like the sun of righteousness. To worship in the presence of a consuming fire, this is your sanctification. And as you worship in the presence of a consuming fire, it affects your appearance. Not only on the last day, not only as you will appear in the age to come, but also your appearance in the present. Not that outward glory that will be yours, but the inward glory that is presently yours. The inward glory that is yours more and more. This affects how we worship with reverence and awe. But it does not end there. Your sanctification does not end there. Your sanctification begins there. In Hebrews chapter 13, you were told what your sanctification is to look like in this world as you await the world to come. You are told what it means to share God's holiness in this world. Our God is a consuming fire. Let brotherly love continue. Our God is a consuming fire. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Our God is a consuming fire. Remember those who are in prison. Our God is a consuming fire. Let the marriage bed be undefiled. Our God is a consuming fire. Keep your life free from the love of money. Be content with what you have. Our God is a consuming fire. Remember your leaders. Our God is a consuming fire. Be holy as the Lord your God is holy. In Hebrews chapter 13, you are told what your sanctification is to look like in this world. What it means to share God's holiness in this world. And the first thing that you hear is the one of most importance. Let brotherly love continue. Love one another. If you would share the holiness of God, if you would offer to Him acceptable worship, let brotherly love continue. You cannot love God and hate your brother. You cannot love God and hate what He loves. You cannot share the holiness of God and not love one another. If you are being conformed into the image of God, if you are becoming like Him, then you must love what He loves, and He loves the church. Let brotherly love continue. Love one another. It isn't an option. It's a command. But what is love? You know what love is. John chapter 15, verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. That is how Christ loved the church. That is how Christ loved you, by giving Himself up for you. Not because you were lovely. Not because you were worthy. Not because you had earned it. Not because you deserve it. That is how you must love one another. That is what Hebrews chapter 13 calls you to. That is what Christ calls you to. You are in the presence of a consuming fire, and you deserve to be consumed. You deserve to be devoured, but you are not. Would you then dare to consume and devour one another? Let brotherly love continue. There is nothing more important. There is nothing greater than love. You could have everything. But if you lack love, you are nothing. This church could do everything right. But if you do not have love, it is for nothing. It is worthless. You must love one another. You must serve one another. You must consider one another more significant than yourself. You must seek one another's well-being. When you gather together in the presence of a holy God, when you gather together in the presence of a consuming fire, is it to resent one another? Is it to look down on one another? Is it to judge one another? Is it to think how much better you are than the other? Or is it to be merciful with one another as God has been merciful to you? To be patient with one another as God has been patient with you? To forgive one another as God has forgiven you? To serve one another as God has served you? To humble yourself before one another as God has humbled Himself for you? If you come together, if you gather here to worship God, but not to love one another, that is not acceptable worship. That is not acceptable before God. The greatest gift you have been given is love. You have been loved by God that you might love Him and one another. If you would prepare your heart for worship, think upon these things. How can I love my brother this day? How can I serve him? How can I bless him? How can I encourage him? How can I comfort him? How can I rejoice with him? How can I weep with him? People of God, by God's grace, He has invited you into the presence of a consuming fire. And if you would reflect the holiness of that fire, if you would reflect the holiness of God, if you would offer to Him worship that is acceptable in His sight, love one another. Let brotherly love continue. Amen. Let us pray.